God's been teaching me about storms. And I'm sorry to say I don't remember who the speaker was I was listening to the other day, but I believe that God allows storms to come in our lives so that we can learn to depend on Him and that we can learn that He's going to be faithful to see us through those storms. Joyce, I see you back there. Thank God for His faithfulness. And I think that God also allows those storms to come in our lives that we can learn to depend on Him. But also, we see how that He has helped us through that storm so that when the next one comes, we can rely on the strength that He gave us before. And we can see, okay, He helped me through this storm and this is how He did it. I know He's going to do it again. So worship with us this morning till the storm passes by. And when we get up there, we're going to celebrate with Him and thank Him for seeing us through those storms. So let this be an encouragement to you this morning.
Oh, What a wonderful day it is to be in the house of the Lord today, and so great to be here amongst all of our friends and family, and just thankful for what God is doing here at Ebenezer Welcome Baptist Church, amen. Praise the Lord. So if you're happy to be in the house of God today, say amen.
Amen.
Now look to your neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, amen. We're not here for anything else but to worship and serve our King, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be reading 18 through 20 today. For those that have served in our military, they know that one of the things that a Marine will say is Semper Fi, which means forever faithful. Faithful to the command of the commanding officer. He's faithful to fill out the assignment that he has been given. He's faithful to fulfill what the commanding officer has told him to do. And so the title of my message today is Reporting for Duty. Reporting for duty. And there's three things that you need to remember if you're going to be a soldier in God's army. Three things that are so vital that you need to understand as you fulfill God's call upon your life. You know, many believers today are living lives that represent merry-go-rounds. They get excited about the ride. They are entertained by the ride. They enjoy the ride. But when the ride ends, they haven't went anywhere. They haven't done anything that has lasting value. There's no direction and no guidance for their life. And so as we read this passage of Scripture, there are three things that will guide us and lead us into what God has called us to do. And you need to remember these things. First, it says, Jesus came near and said to them in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So the first thing you need to understand if you're going to be a soldier in God's army is that Jesus possesses all authority. He said in heaven and on earth. If you die and you go to heaven to be with Jesus, he's going to be in charge there. While you're here on earth, he's going to be in charge. And so who is the authority in your life today and over your life? Is it Jesus or is it yourself? If you don't answer to Jesus, then who do you answer to? If Jesus is not the authority over your life, then what you need to do today is you need to crucify King Self and you need to crown King Jesus. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." He said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, listen to it. "If anyone wishes to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus said that you must deny yourself. You know, today we live in a world where people are always talking about their rights. I have a right to choose to abort a baby if I want to. I have a right to marry who I want to marry, even though if it's not according to God's word. I have a right to bear arms. But friend, if you have died unto yourself, you don't have any rights when it comes to Jesus because you're a dead man. He said that you need to deny yourself. This means that you must die. Far too many today live their lives with this selfish mindset. It's my life, it's my stuff, it's my future, it's my friends, it's my finances, it's my family, it's my everything, it's my choice. Truthfully, we don't own anything in this world. It all belongs to God. So if you want to know how rich you are today, add up everything that money cannot buy and death cannot take away, and you will find out how rich you are. God gave you one life. That's it. He gave you one life. He gave you the life that you have today to honor Him, to glorify Him, to serve Him, and to worship Him, and to follow Him. Jesus said, I'm in charge now. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, and those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Sadly, many today live life by their rules, by their agenda. It's my plan, not God's plan. It's my agenda, not God's agenda. It's my way, not God's way. And so the reason why God has been excluded from their lives is because the world system has lured them away. They have swallowed the bait of enticement, and the hook of deception has caught them in the jaw, and the devil is reeling them in. You know, the Bible tells us to be fishermen of men. But I want to tell you today, friend, the devil's going fishing too. He's going fishing too. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. That doesn't mean planet Earth. That means the world system, the world's way of doing things. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the world, that means it controls your affections. It directs your choices that you make, by getting you to exclude God. You know, Tom Hanks was in a movie called Captain Phillips. How many of you have seen that movie? That's a good movie. He was the captain of a cargo ship, and he was carrying some cargo across the ocean there, and he entered into pirate-infested waters. And the pirates came on the ship. They came to Captain Phillips, and one of them looked him in the eye, and he said, I'm the captain now. I'm in charge now. You do what I tell you to do. I make the rules. And Jesus is saying to you today, I'm in charge now. If you claim to be my disciple and my follower, you don't get to be in charge. That means that King Jesus gives the orders and you obey as an officer in his army, as a soldier in his army. You report for duty and you say, yes, sir, Captain Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Jesus possesses all authority. In Joshua chapter 5, there's a great passage of scripture there. Joshua is getting ready to near Jericho. God told them that whatever land their foot had stepped on was going to be theirs. He had promised it to them, and he had promised them to give them Jericho. And Joshua is getting ready to fight. Now, you know, he's an officer. He's a warrior. He's won many battles. And he's going into enemy territory, and he sees this man with his sword drawn. And he looks behind him, and he said, are you for us or are you for them? And he said, I'm for neither. He said, I am a commander in the Lord's army. And the Bible says that Joshua bowed his face to the ground and worshiped. And then he said, what does my Lord say to his servant today? And the commander in the army said, remove your sandals. You remember that? Moses in the burning bush. Remove your sandals because the place that you are on is holy ground. Is holy ground. A commander is someone who gives orders. You know who Joshua saw that day? He saw a pre-incarnate Christ. He saw a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are going to be a good soldier in Jesus' army, you must report for duty. Friend, you can't tip your hat to Jesus. You got to bow the knee to Jesus. You must surrender. There is no other way, because the Bible says that after he worshiped him, after he bowed down to him, after he bowed his knee to him, that they went into Jericho and he told them what to do, and they had victory. If you want victory in your life, you must surrender to Jesus today. He says, I'm in charge now. Is Jesus in charge of your life? Are you doing what he calls you to do? General Douglas MacArthur was going to meet with a Japanese general. And they were going to meet, and this Japanese general was going to surrender. They had a meeting. And the Japanese general stuck out his hand to shake General MacArthur's hand. And he said, "I can't shake your hand until you give me your sword." He said, "I can't be your friend until you give me your sword." Friend, you know what you need to do today? You need to give Jesus Christ the sword of your will and say, "I surrender to your will." Because the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Is Jesus in charge of your life? You know, imagine for a moment if President Trump called you today and he said, "I'm coming to your house today. I want to eat dinner with you." You wouldn't say, "Okay, well, we've got some leftovers in the refrigerator. You can have those. That's what we'll eat." Suppose you went to the restaurant and you ordered off the menu and you said, "This is what I want." And the waitress said, "Well, we've got some leftovers in the back. I think we'll give you some of those. I mean, it's still fresh. Some people have just nibbled on it just a little bit, but it's still fresh." I mean, wouldn't you be disgusted to think that that's what they would give you as leftovers? Why? Because the president doesn't deserve leftovers, and you don't deserve leftovers, and neither does Jesus. That is why he said in Malachi chapter 1, "You have given to me what you won't even give to your governor. You'll give the world most of your time, but I get what is left over." And the reason why many today are not experiencing God's power and God's presence and victory in their life is because they give to Jesus leftovers and get to Jesus when they can. We don't put his plans and his agenda for our lives first. And Jesus doesn't want just a place in your life. He demands and deserves preeminence in your life. He's not just an add-on. He's not just going to be an extra. He must be first. I'm in charge now. Who is in charge of your life? The second thing that you must remember as a soldier in Jesus' army is, you need to understand that Jesus has presented you with an assignment. Jesus possesses all authority, but not only that, Jesus has presented you with an assignment. Look in verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So there's one thing you need to understand about your assignment. First of all, you need to represent your King. A disciple is someone who seeks to represent the one whom they are following. A disciple is a person who is obedient to the rules that they have been laid out by the person who is in charge of them. And many claim to be Christians today, but they refuse to let Jesus tell them what to do. Who has the final word when it comes to your life? If Jesus can't tell you what to do, then you are not fulfilling your assignment. I remember when I was a teenager, I was so excited about the opportunity to drive a car. And my daddy was as nervous as a cat. But I remember one day I took the keys, had my license, and I was getting ready to walk out the door. Somebody grabbed me by the back of my arm. He said, "Hey, boy, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm going to such and such place." He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm just going to go out with my friends." And you know what he said to me? And I'll never forget this. "Son, you remember where you come from. You remember where you come from." What my daddy was saying was this: when you go into the world, don't you bring shame to my name. Don't you dishonor your upbringing. Don't you dishonor my house, my name. It means something to be a slattin.
Remember how I raised you. Remember the name that you bear. Remember who you represent. And remember that you got to come back here sometime. You don't live out there. You live in here. This is your house. This is where you reside. And friend, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, this world is not your home. It's not your home. While you're here, you are to leave a lasting impact on the world for Christ. This is just a pit stop. I mean, we're to abstain from becoming like the world. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul." The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 that our citizenship as believers is in heaven. It's not here. You know what an ambassador is, don't you? An ambassador is someone who represents their country in a foreign land. They are in the foreign land temporarily. They're spending time away from home. An ambassador learns the customs of the foreign land. They learn the language, but they don't belong there. They're there to fulfill their assignment. They must live in that country to carry out the assignment that they have been given. But they also remember that one day they're going to be called back home. What good is an ambassador who doesn't represent their homeland well? The problem with many today who claim to be Christians today is that they have fallen in love with a foreign country. We're to be imitators and illustrations for the land to which we belong. If people in the world don't know where you stand when it comes to Jesus, you don't stand anywhere. We're not to get used to being here. Our allegiance is to another country. And if this world has become your home, then you have been distracted from your assignment. So if you were accused today by the world of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you, or would you be considered innocent of all charges? And so we need to represent our King. But number two, we need to reach others for our King, because the Bible says, go into all nations. Your assignment is to let others know that they must surrender to Christ's authority. But that's hard for someone to do if you haven't surrendered yourself. I mean, if you're not following Jesus and doing what he tells you to do, then why should you expect others to? I mean, is it clear to people in your sphere of influence that Jesus Christ is the captain of your soul? In your business, at your place of work, in your family, Jesus is not talking about what happens in church. He's talking about what happens in the unsaved world. You are to be an imitator of Christ to the unsaved world. And if your passion in life is not to represent your King well and reach others for your King, Jesus Christ, then your assignment has not been taken seriously. You remember when Jesus had rose from the dead and there were going to be witnesses that were going to go to the disciples. You know what the disciples were doing? They were sitting at the table. They were just sitting there, being comfortable, enjoying the table, enjoying the fellowship. And Jesus said, go. Go preach the gospel. Get out of this fellowship. Get out of this table. Friend, I love fellowship. But sometimes I think we fellowship so much that we forget about the unsaved world. Jesus did not die and rise again for us to live a comfortable life. In fact, when you read the Bible, many of those who follow Jesus, they didn't have a comfortable life. So we want God to bless us, but sometimes we only want God to bless us for ourselves. Many people want the benefits of being a Christian, but they don't want to do anything for Jesus. If a person who claims to be a Christian is not doing anything in the unsaved world, they are missing their assignment. God's purpose for your life is to be a witness. To be a witness. And so Jesus said, I have all authority. As a soldier, you need to understand that. Jesus said that he has an assignment. You're to represent me. And number two, you're to reach others for me. And the third thing you need to understand is he gives you the last part of your instructions is you need to remember that he promises to abide with you as you're going out and doing your assignment. Look in there, it says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Notice that his promise to abide with them is in connection with the assignment that he has given them. Jesus said that the Father has sent him into the world. Jesus was not sent into the world for himself. He was sent here to do the will of the Father. His Father's will was his ultimate priority. If you are going to experience ultimate satisfaction in this life, then you must be focused on doing something that has an eternal significance. An eternal significance. The most miserable person on the earth is not an unsaved man or woman. The most miserable person is a believer who is not fulfilling the assignment that God has given them. Because they are out of the will of God. In Acts chapter 7, I just want to read this. There's a famous scripture. And this scripture, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it, but if you do, that's fine. In verse 56... there's a man named Stephen. Stephen was a soldier for Jesus. And Stephen had been preaching, and the people's hearts began to get indignant against him because they were mad at the truth, is what happened. And in verse 56, Stephen said, he looked and saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You know, many people today talk about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Why was Jesus standing at the right hand of God? Because Stephen was given a standing ovation by Jesus for completing the assignment that Jesus had given him to do. And you know, one of the people that were standing there that day watching him be stoned was Paul. And I bet when Stephen got to heaven, you know what he said? Miss Debbie, I don't know what song was sung. But I believe, just by my imagination, there could have been an angel. And Stephen sing along with him, say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Friend, have you pledged allegiance to the Lamb? I believe when Paul got there, Stephen welcomed him in. Because one of the things that changed Paul's life was the way that Stephen died. He was a humble man. But he did what God wanted him to do. Jesus said, I have all authority. Jesus said, you have an assignment to represent me, to reach others for me. And he said, if you do this, I will be with you. Peace be with you if you will do what I ask you to do. Let's pray today. God, I pray today that we would not be distracted by the world's system of things and the way that the world does things today. Lord, there are many today that have forgotten their assignment because the world has pulled them in. We're to be bold soldiers. We're to be courageous soldiers. We are to be soldiers who are committed to doing the assignment from the commanding officer, and that is Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray today that your Spirit will move in such a way that it will challenge us, it will convict us to complete the assignment that you've called us to do. Lord, wherever we are today, I pray, Lord, that we would examine our heart, that we would come to you and say, God, I haven't been doing what you've called me to do. I haven't been focused on your assignment. I pray we get right with you today. But Lord, maybe there's someone here today who needs to be saved from their sin, to turn from darkness to light. I pray today, God, that you would convict them of their sin today. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for all that you've done. May we be committed to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.